Blog Talk Radio.
Here of Suspense Radio one-on-one on this Super Bowl Sunday edition. We are pleased to have you however, wherever, and whenever you listen to the show. It's great to be able to have you with us. This is our first Suspense Radio one-on-one of the new year. Of course, that is partnered with PartnersInCrimeTours.net. Today's guest is going to be Chris Patchell, or Patchell. I'm not a good last name person, you know that. And she's going to be talking about her latest book, In the Dark, and some other things that are going to be going on into the future, possibly with this book and some things going on. So be very interesting to hear what's happening with this book coming off of the heels of her last one, Deadly Lies. So let's jump right into it here and join Chris. So, Chris, thank you so much for coming on. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, John.
And I know I butchered your last name, so please let everybody know. Is it Patchell or Patchell?
It's Patchell.
My
husband always describes it as like Patchellini without the I.
Okay, good. Because I'm a terrible last name person. I do good with the first ones, but the last names, some people just pronounce them different ways, and you just never know, and I just kind of do it as I see it. But I'm normally 50% of the time wrong, so that's why I like to make sure
you weren't far off, so that's great.
So, you're starting your tour just started, and you know you're going through the month of February here with your latest book, In the Dark. Came out in August of last year. It's done very well. We kind of joked a little off the air that you are top 10 in the serial killer and kidnapping category on Amazon. That's a good thing and kind of a scary thing because you know you're a top 10 serial killer now. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about the book, In the Dark, and what they can expect from it?
Absolutely. So the story is about a woman whose 19-year-old daughter goes missing and the desperate search to find her. So Marissa Rooney, the protagonist in the story, is a single mom, and she's really struggling to do the right thing, to keep her family afloat financially. And also, you know, she's a mom that had kids early, and I think often when you have kids early, you're not quite sure who you are. And so you go through a lot of bad relationships and questioning your decisions, and at the end you just hope that things turn out right. When I was writing her character, I was thinking a little bit of my mom, right? So my mom wasn't a single mom, but she had us early, and so she definitely struggled financially, and she struggled to make sure that my brother and I both had the things we needed growing up, and so I tried to channel a little bit of her into Marissa to make Marissa's character more rich and kind of realistic. And then her daughter, who's disappeared, Brooke is a 19-year-old college student who goes out to a bar one night. Underage, she sneaks in to see one of her ex-boyfriends and runs into the wrong people. And so when she disappears, there's a little bit more intense ticking clock to her story because she's also an insulin-dependent diabetic. And so as such, she needs regular shots of insulin to stay alive. So that part of the story I kind of modeled after my husband, who is a type 1 diabetic. And so, you know, living through some of the things that diabetics go through secondhand, dealing with his highs and lows, I kind of used some of that in Brooke's character as well. And then it's got some pretty terrific bad guys that are complex and evil. And, you know, frankly, I just love writing bad guys.
Mm-hmm. Bad guys are fun.
I know, bad guys are fun. I think that's the biggest thing that I learned, biggest surprising thing that I learned when I started writing this kind of book is that I really love writing from the bad guy's perspective. I don't know what that says about me, but the fact that I'm on the serial killer list,
Yeah, and I think that's hilarious. I mean, and that's funny, you know, when you say you're on the serial killer list and you're top 10 kidnapper serial killer. Like I said, it's just kind of funny just to say, but at least it's fiction,
yeah.
I hope. So that's good.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can say with complete honesty, I've never killed anybody, but I have to admit I have thought it on occasion.
Oh, I think we've all thought it on occasion, mm-hmm. without a doubt. Now, so now what you've done then with this, I guess you want to say it's more like a suspense thriller, because it's not, you know, terribly fast paced, but it does have, you know, a lot of elements of thriller without the pacing being so quick, but very suspenseful. Is that,
yes.
you've added the extra layer to the daughter, you know, not having her insulin, and now it's a time schedule, not only because of you know the sickness that she has, but of course who has her and those,
yes.
types of things. So you've kind of layered this, this story. How difficult was it to kind of keep that up while you're going ahead and you know, writing it? Because typically you don't have those types of layers, but you have to keep it, you know, going in a certain direction so it all works out well.
Oh, you know, this kind of thing really comes naturally to me. What I do in my day job is I'm a software program manager for a large company, and so I manage very complex projects. And so the different layers and dependencies all kind of reside in my head, probably as an artifact for what I've done for a living for the last 20 years. And so, you know, making sure that those things move and what those connection points are and that they're moving at a fast enough pace to keep the reader engaged, all is probably the one thing that came naturally to me when I started to write. Deadly Lies is kind of like that too. It's got two stories that wind around each other and then, you know, kind of meld in this explosive ending. That's kind of what In the Dark is too. So it's inherent to my style. I found character, you know, really getting in depth on my character and showing emotion. Those are areas in my writing that are less natural for me, and I'm very cognizant about spending enough time there to get the depth I'm looking for. So that, you know, is something that I continually work toward as I write.
Yeah, and it's important, like you said, you know, you love writing bad guys, and you love being able to, you know, have the character development along with the story. So with Marissa and Brooke, when you were deciding on, you know, those two characters being, you know, the missing teen and then the mom and her struggles having to try to find her daughter, what elements did you want to make sure that you incorporate into both of those characters just to make the story have that much more depth?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think with Marissa, what I was really looking for is that she starts out the story a little bit insecure. And I wanted to, have her grow out of that as part of her story arc, so really find herself both professionally and also as a woman and a mother, right? Find that inner strength and really utilize that to help resolve the end of the story. So there's quite a bit of vulnerability and insecurity at the beginning of the book. But then also in her character is that grit, that as life keeps piling more things on you and you have more than you think you can bear, she stands up to it and she's a fighter internally. So, you know, those are some of the characteristics in Marissa that I think are most poignant and gives the reader something to cheer for. And with Brooke, it's really about vulnerability and grit too, but in a very different way. She's much more gentle, I think, as a character than Marissa. And probably because Marissa did a good job as a mom, although she doesn't give herself the credit for that. So Brooke has to endure, right, this terrible situation where she's being held captive in a cabin and has to figure out, you know, how do I keep enough insulin to keep going? How do I, you know, just starve myself of food so my blood sugars don't go up? There's this complex equation in Brooke's story that's not just about surviving the ordeal, but actually figuring out, you know, how do I make this work with my medication and all these other things going on? So she also finds the inner strength to keep going when things look at their darkest. So those are two of the things. The story also has a damage detective, Seth Crawford, who's assigned the missing persons case, and he is damaged as a result of his wife dying in a horrific fire that he blames himself for. And so coming out of that, you know, he has sunk himself into work. And I think as the story progresses, he starts realizing that there's more to life than just that, and he needs to find the will to go on personally too. So all of my characters come from the scratch and dent section. I like my heroes a little tarnished.
Right. And, you know, and that is a major thing that you're seeing, I think, in today's day and age is a lot, especially in the suspense writing, is you're seeing a lot more women being put in these kinds of positions. And I don't know if that's some kind of a trend or if it's something that is because you know, in the past, whether women have been viewed as, you know, a little bit less weak or a little bit weaker than men, you know, strength-wise, not, you know,
yeah.
not mental-wise. And does it make it a little bit more difficult because of some restraints, because you know that they might not be able to go up against a 290-pound guy or, you know, like a Jack Reacher type or someone, and, you know, ninja and all these other things. They have to use more of a mental approach, I guess, to get out of situations. Is that kind of, you know, what you feel?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think about, I am a big fan of the female antihero. My first book, Deadly Lies, had a protagonist that's pretty edgy, and I think one of the reasons agents were scared of it was because here's the problem with antiheroes. A male antihero can be a lot of unlikable things, but in the end you end up cheering for him because of his, you know, strength and characteristics and the reasons why he does the things he does. In female antiheroes, unlikability seems like the kiss of death, right? So, you know, that old adage, sugar and spice and everything nice? Well, not all girls are made of that, right? So it's a little bit harder. Although in popular culture now, it is a little bit more acceptable. You see movies and more television shows with characters of that nature. And back to your comment about the whole size differential thing, I can tell you a personal story about that. My brother was a, you know, big jock in high school. I wasn't, right? I was kind of the geeky little sister sort of thing. And I knew that in any kind of physical contest we ever had, whether it was basketball or even a foot race, I had to be smarter because I was never going to win in the faster and stronger category. And so when we'd have a foot race, I'd do something to make him laugh. Because I knew if he was laughing, he couldn't breathe properly, and if he couldn't breathe properly, I could run faster than him. And so that's how I'd win.
Right.
Little sisters
are devious. And that's what you're seeing a lot in books. Like I said, a lot more of the thinking man's, a lot more of the mental aspect instead of just, you know, beating the crap out of somebody and whoever wins the fight, which, you know, I don't really, you know, a fight scene now and then is okay, but when every single fight scene is kind of the same exact way, I just kind of get turned off because when I know it's coming,
yeah.
I'm like, well, it's going to end the same way and it's going to do the same thing. I like having to be, I like having to be surprised with how somebody can mentally get out of a certain situation and how it will affect them, because that's the other part that you kind of have to have in these books too is, you know, they're damaged at the beginning, but then they go through these horrific things, and how is that going to affect them at the end? And do you plan on maybe exploring more of those kinds of things as you go on? You know, because we talked a little off the air where your next book is going to be kind of a sequel to this one. So have you kind of thought about those things?
Oh, absolutely. You know, how do people grow, right? And what aspects of their character do they need to develop in order to overcome the things that come in future? And I think, like any professional, Marissa, as she's growing in a role, needs to find that second piece of herself and that extra thing if she's going to keep going in the series in a way that's interesting. And so, yeah, I definitely think a lot about that. And the next one is, you know, I'm calling it The Farm for now. We'll see if that name sticks. And it's about the foundation, which is the investigative body that Marissa's a part of in the first book, investigating their next case and some of their struggles as an organization, right, getting it off the ground and kind of growing. You have growing pains. And then all the characters involved trying to find that next level of professionalism. I think they, you know, they solve the case of Brooke kind of by a wing and a prayer. And so the second book starts off in a very different place. And so it'll be interesting to see how they struggle through, right, and whether they can actually find the resources to do what they need to do, internally and externally, as a group and then as individuals.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing is, you know, this is your second book. And so going from, you know, your first to your second, you kind of find things out about yourself as a writer. And you might look back at your first book, Deadly Lies, and say, you know, there's certain aspects of that either I could have made stronger or, you know, maybe things I could have grown on. Did you kind of do that and think about that within the dark and said, okay, I'm going to focus a little bit more on making maybe this aspect a little stronger, or I'm going to change direction and kind of go that way? Did you do that? Will fans who read Deadly Lies and In the Dark, will they notice a difference in writing or a difference in focus?
Oh, absolutely, right. So my first book, I published it and kind of held my breath, published it, and thought, oh my gosh, right, I'm just wanting to learn more about the publishing process. Now when I go back and read it, I see a lot of flaws in the way I did things. Plot, like I said, comes very naturally to me. So when I went from Deadly Lies to In the Dark, what I really wanted to do was work on character and making those characters more rich, right, and spending more time on their personal arcs. You know, so Marissa has a very rich personal arc. So does Seth, so does Brooke and some of the other characters in the book. And, you know, as I read reviews from folks who've read the book, they notice that, right? They say the characters are really well developed. They like how realistic they are. The other thing that I constantly try to do, I'll just back up a little bit. I have a tech background, and so I tend to be very analytical in the way I approach things. My husband would even say when we argue, I'm very analytical, and he's more emotional. I'm like, okay, so here's the situation. How do we fix? And he's like, wait. And so in my writing, I spend a lot of time thinking about the emotions of the characters, right, and trying to connect them to real situations so I can draw more emotion out on the page. So that those were things that I was very cognizant of and deliberate about as I wrote In the Dark. And going into my next book, you know, I always have like one or two goals in terms of craft that I want to write on, work on. So my next book, what I'm working on is continuing to make sure that I have deep emotions coming across in effective ways on the page, but I also want to work on my action scenes. Mm-hmm. You know, continue to make them better, more action, all that kind of thing. So, yeah, I'm always trying to get better in whatever I do.
And I want to remind everybody here that we're speaking with author Krish Patel, and you can go to krishpatel.com, P-A-T-C-H-E-L-L, for more information on this book, In the Dark, and, of course, Deadly Lies and everything else that you have updating on. One thing that I've noticed, too, is Seattle's becoming a hotbed for authors. There's a lot of freaking authors right now coming out of Seattle. I don't know if it's the drinking water or what it is, but
it's the rain and the traffic. Oh, my God, right? What else do you have to do?
Oh, yeah, it's true. You got a lot of rain.
We have a lot of rain. And the traffic is awful, right? So it puts you in a nice murderous rage by the time you get wherever you're going.
Well, you're speaking of traffic. Of course, I live in Los Angeles, so I got everybody beat.
Oh, yeah. You know all about that.
So I do understand that, though. I understand, you know, wanting to get home and, you know, just start writing about that person in that red car and how can you kill them in your book. And makes you, you know, makes you feel a little bit better. One of the Seattle people that live up there, Kevin O'Brien, his thing is, you know, he kind of goes on Amazon and see who writes his worst review of his last book, and then that person will then die in the next book. And that's like his therapy.
I know. I find that hysterical. I saw him yesterday, by the way.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I was at a writing event called Seattle Right Here, Right Now, sponsored by the Seattle 7. And so he was there along with just a ton of other fabulous Northwest authors, right? So the day is really focused around writing. You have 45-minute writing blocks, and in between there are 10-minute mini lessons given by just a variety of fabulous authors. And so I hit it every year because it's a productive time, and, you know, I get to see a lot of other great authors. So it's a lot of fun. And you see, Kevin O'Brien was there. Erica Bauermeister, Stephanie, I'm going to butcher her last name, Colonis, Carol Casella, Ingrid Throft, right? A lot of great writers were there, and it was super fun.
And now, for, like, let's just say, like, a, you know, like a younger author coming up, someone who hasn't been published, how important are those events for them to go to and to kind of hear, like, yourself and Kevin and maybe like a Robert Dugoni or Robert Crason, all these people, you know, that are from the area and they can speak it and then they can kind of help you out?
You know, it's super important. I started going to the Pacific Northwest Writers Conference, I want to say about 7 years ago when I was just writing my first novel.
Did I see you last year? Did we meet?
You saw me last year.
We did. Okay.
We did.
I've seen so many people, and I just came back from New York and Thriller Fest, and then that, and everybody kind of ran together, so I apologize.
Oh, no worries, no worries. Yeah, so I think as a new author, right, learning about the business and starting to network with those professionals and then also sitting in on sessions is really important. What I like best about the one we did yesterday was that the focus is actually on writing, meaning that it's not a lot of people talking and you're getting all of this intellectual information in your head. It's actually working on your own stuff and getting some tips from pros along the way to do it. But, I mean, through those events, I met Kevin O'Brien, who's, you know, I consider him one of my mentors. I love Kevin. And I also met Robert Dagoni, who blurred my last book. Yeah. So making those connections and seeing those people up close and personal is great.
Now, of course, it says on your website, how did, you know, a very nice small Canadian girl end up writing such dark books and, you know, getting into this realm. Was this just what you loved when you grew up? I mean, were these the authors that you followed? Was there a book or was there an author that kind of gave you that jump to say, you know what, this is what I want to do and this is the realm that I want to be in?
I think growing up, I was kind of a shy kid and very introverted. And so writing was one of those only things that I did really well. My brother was good at everything, and I was good at this one thing. So I think that's the thing that turned me on to it. But when I started to read a lot, I read kind of two authors, and you're going to laugh when I say the second one. The first one, Stephen King, which isn't a surprise given what I write. But the second one was Danielle Steele.
If the next one is like Danielle Steele, then I will laugh.
Yes, exactly. Danielle Steele, right? So
did I get that one right, actually? That's hilarious.
Yes, you got it right.
She's,
my bookcase
but she's a great storyteller, just in a different realm.
Yeah, in a different realm. And so eventually, Stephen King won out. So I quit writing for a long time as I got busy with career and family and kids and all that stuff. But when I went back to it and I started to really seriously think about, I'm going to write a novel, I realized that what I was reading was thrillers and suspense novels because I'd always loved scary stories. Not gory, but scary, you know, that thing that keeps you on the edge of your seat and when something goes bump in the house, you jump. So that's when I realized, hey, you know what? I'm just going to try my hand at this. And I found that I really liked it. So I've never been tempted to write a romance novel, except when I see them on the top of the bestsellers list, and it's like, oh, man, I could do that.
Yeah.
But then I realized I like the dark.
Yeah, you know, and I just wrote my letter from the editor, which will be in the next magazine, and it was about chasing trends. And I put in there, and I said, that's a very, very bad road to head down is trend chasing, where you know everybody wanted vampires and everybody wanted zombies, and now it seems like everybody's writing about terrorism, and it's like if you start trying to chase those trends now, you're already too late because publishers have already bought all the books that they're going to have for 2016. They're looking in 2017 and they're looking for the next thing. They don't want to do the new. They don't want to do the old thing. So if you're writing today and you're going to start writing a terrorist book, it's probably not going to make it too much longer. I kind of said it's kind of like the yoga pants phenomenon. I mean, who would have thought that everybody in the freaking world is now wearing yoga pants? But if you want to make yoga pants, you're already too late because everybody's already made them. So you're not going to make a yoga pants that anybody else is going to buy because they're already out there.
That's totally right. And everybody's wearing them. When I first started to write Deadly Lies, one of my friends said, oh, my God, have you read 50 Shades of Grey? And I'm like, no. And she said,
oh, Jesus.
You totally need to write the next 50 Shades of Grey. You'll be massive. And I'm like, oh, God, no. First of all, shoot me. But second of all, you know, I think you write the stories that are in your head, and you have to kind of stay true to it in exactly what you said. Don't chase the trends. Write what's true to you. You have to be your authentic self.
Yeah, and let's face it. Everybody knows that, I mean, 50 Shades of Grey might have been a popular book that people bought. But that was like one of the most horribly written books ever. And I literally think that the editor or the publisher who put that out must have said, you know what, we know this is shitty writing, but Oprah moms and are going to love it, and that's who's going to buy it, and we're only looking at the dollar signs. We don't care if it's actually good literature.
Oh, that's
terrible.
Exactly right. It's salacious. Yeah. And so that captured the imagination of a certain group of readers. And I think the momentum from that carried it across to traditional publishing where, you know, a publisher looks at it and goes, I don't care that it's crap. It's selling like hotcakes. Let's do this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just glad that not a lot of other 50 Shades of Grey people came out because it's like, you know, that's just like one book in a while. And it's like, you can only do that once. You really can't do that again.
Oh, totally. And, you know, I find it astounding, like the whole premise of a naive virgin getting involved with a billionaire sadist. I mean, wow. Okay.
Yeah, you almost want to kind of write it. You almost want to kind of write it that way, and then kind of right at the beginning, your serial killer comes in and kills them both, and you're like, yeah! And now we're rooting for the serial killer to kill these people.
Well, you know, an avenging angel who, you know, has a thing against sadomasochists, I don't know, there's something to that, I think.
There is. There could be something to that. So real quickly, tell us what you got coming up then in the future, you know, with your book. Because we had mentioned off the air that In the Dark could possibly be, you know, the start of a new series. So what are you thinking?
Yeah, so In the Dark involves the formation of a foundation called the Holt Foundation, and it's these people's mission is to help victims and families of crime, right? So they help solve the crimes, but they also provide counseling and services later to support those families. And so the next book is really about the next case that they take on, right? And it involves a missing pregnant teenage girl, and they try to figure out what happened to her, and then they realize this isn't just one case, it's multiple cases of missing persons. And so it goes to some very dark places. You know, it's got kind of a Michael Crichton-esque medical plot at the bottom end, which I think is going to be fun. I'm on my second draft, so there's still lots of work to do, but it's coming together nicely. And I've got some really interesting, complex bad guys in it, which, you know, just total fun to write.
Nice. Well, I'll tell you what, Chris, I want to kind of give you also a little bit of time for like the last minute here to kind of let everybody know where they can find you, you know, what's the best place to kind of hook up with you, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff. So, you know, do the self-pub.
Absolutely. Okay, so the best place to get updates on what I'm doing or see recent news is on my Facebook page. So look for author Chris Patchell on Facebook. I do have a Twitter account, and I post to it, but I have to admit, I'm kind of lame on Twitter. So I'm trying to get better at it. What else? I will be at the Pacific Northwest Writers Conference this year, too, and I'm teaching a workshop on planning your career as a writer and choosing the best path for you. So those are some of the things I'm going to be doing. I'm also this month on the Partners in Crime blog tour, so I'll be posting links to my website, my Facebook page with blog postings and interviews and that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's what's coming up for me. And meanwhile, I'm heads down editing the next book.
Awesome. Well, Chris, I want to thank you so much. Congratulations. Good luck on the tour. You still got a little over 20-some days to go on it, and you're going to be busy every day, you know, writing blogs and doing things and answering questions. So it's a fun time. So you have a fun time doing it, and, you know, we wish you nothing but the best.
Okay. Hope to see you at the PNWA this year if you're coming.
We were not going to make it this year. We are taking, like, the year off. No ITW, no PNWA. We were going to go to Harrogate. Not sure if we're going to end up doing that or not. We're just kind of taking a break and a breather and just kind of trying to catch up with everything that we had, because we had so many submissions to try to get to. People want their stuff published and try to go through. It's been hectic.
Oh, that's great, though. Yeah, that's the perfect kind of reason.
Yeah, so... Well, we want to thank you and enjoy and have a great one and enjoy the Super Bowl if you're going to watch it, Super Bowl 50 or whatever you're going to do, and have a great day.
Go Hawks.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, John.
So, again, everybody, that is author Chris Patchell, and you can go to her website. You can go to Chris, PATCHELL.com for more information on the book In the Dark, which has been out since August, not now, however you want to buy it. Go to Amazon, whatever format you want to get it in. It is available. Great book. Robert Dugoni says, read it with the lights on. And that's if you like those kinds of dark, you know, suspenseful stories that kind of hit you right in the heart, then this is the one that you want to go out and get. So we want to thank you all again for listening. Enjoy the day and have a good one. Again, follow us on iTunes. Get all the blogs and everything into your account right when it's all done. All of our shows are being sponsored by Kensington Books. Go to kensingtonbooks.com for all the information on the books that they're publishing this year and their great authors. Also, check out darkrenaissance.com and their books. If you're into the ghost, the occult, the little off the way a little bit, they have some great stuff that they're doing. So go check them out, too. Well, we will thank you all. We'll be back on Friday with the Story Blender. And until then, Have a great day and keep on reading. Goodbye, everybody.